everybody. Welcome to Busted.
First of all, first order of business is I would like to thank Scott and all the EFF folks for putting together what is the most valuable track at Dragon Con. So first, big round of applause for Scott and all the EFF track folks. The most valuable one here. The Academy Award-winning movie you're about to see is Busted, the Citizen's Guide to Surviving Police Encounters. I usually just call it Citizen's Guide to Police Encounters. The acting isn't exactly Academy Award quality, maybe half a step under. So you need to forgive those parts. The information in it, however, is beyond Academy Award level. So I recommend paying attention to that. Most of it is a few years old now. Most of it is still extremely relevant. Where it is not, I will point it out, or we'll point it out during the film. And really quickly, let me introduce myself. I'm Andrew Greenberg, game designer, writer, and on the board of Georgia Normal, which is one of the things we like to do outreach.
Oh, and sorry, I was running my mouth. I'm Cara Mikus from Colorado. Work out in a law firm there. Generally work in personal injury. However, have a great interest in constitutional law. In fact, in protecting everyone's rights, Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments, there on top of it all, and am happy to return and answer any questions that I can for you.
My name is Jason Mitchell. I'm a sergeant with the local gang task force. I'm not here on behalf of my agency and not allowed to identify them. Not here necessarily to tell anybody to do or not to do, either to waive or to invoke their rights, but to give a law enforcement perspective and also to kind of give a more practical from a more practical side than necessarily, and then sometimes you'll see when we talk about legal issues than necessarily lawyers might experience, because what I see is kind of what happens out on the street. Lawyers don't see it unless somebody goes to jail. And there's a lot of stuff that happens that doesn't involve jail.
And he's also styling an awesome kilt. Yeah. All right, Scott. All you, man. Oh, and what this does is it shows you the wrong way and the right way to handle police encounters. So when you see them being complete morons, they will improve. As shall we all.
And this first guy, I would retrain if he was a rookie in his first year. I would recommend termination if this were on video after his first year of employment. Everybody's an idiot the first year they're a cop. I was.
Can I look at this real quick? Certainly. I didn't have a chance to look at this, some Georgia-specific issues.
Unless you want to see if that actor was in porn before. All right.
And if you recognize his name.
don't admit it. Okay, so who was here yesterday for Don't Talk to Cops? All right, a good crossover. We're going to follow a much the same format we did before. We'll say a couple of words, then we'll open this to your questions. Most of it is still very valid information. We can talk about the ID question that was raised yesterday if the folks who had that question are here again. The one major thing I wanted to talk about is what you've seen in here are really key ways to avoid getting convicted. Being arrested will fuck up your day, your weekend, maybe your month. Being convicted will fuck up your life. So it is far better to go to jail for a night than to get convicted for stuff. So that's why asserting your rights is so strong. That protects you to a great degree. So with that, I'll turn it over to Cara to my left.
I specifically would speak to the area where they are attempting to enter the home. Initially, I'll tell you, it is a very good thing to always exit your premises, closing the door behind you, and it, more specifically, a screen door will not work for you. Always got to be a hard door. Close it behind you. Can we come in your home? No. Do you mind if we enter and do whatever? No. Don't let them look in. Don't give them an opportunity to look in.
And it's not no, because say they get the gotcha game. Do you mind if I come in? No. They can then say you consented. It's I do not consent to any searches. I'm asking to get more direct.
Or you can say simply, yes, I do mind. And that also works.
Yep. But all of these, it's affirmative. It's called affirmative defenses. You're setting up layers of defense for yourself. Sorry.
No, that's fine. Just, you know, and it can be as simple as they don't have to smell pot smoke. They can see a couple of beer bottles or what have you sitting on your counter, and then they can go, you know, we think there's just something untoward going on here, so we might want to come in. Again, shut the door behind you. Don't give them an opportunity to look in your house ever, even if there's nothing going on. You just don't want to give them the opportunity ever. Shut the door. And so with that, I'll roll on.
Let's see. I just saw a couple things in this particular video that were interesting. One of the things I thought was interesting, which is a safety issue, not necessarily a legal issue, about her hostess duty and controlling who comes in and leaves your house. One thing that can happen, particularly with younger people, is parties will get advertised and they will get out of control. You start getting 30, 100 people at a party, you're going to start having people you don't want at your parties, and then you wind up with bad things happening. We've had a couple shootings in our jurisdiction that started over stupid stuff and wound up having innocent partygoers get killed over, and because somebody shot into the crowd because the people didn't control what was going on at their party.
Well, yeah, so managing your party guests, that would be key. Don't let the dumbasses in.
You got the dungeon in the basement, use it.
What do you do with police dogs being able to hit on command as a pretext for...
I have that other video, but not with me, which is by a police officer who trained dogs, talking about how that is done and how you keep an eye out for it and how that can be used as cause to search. I'll say that the dog called it and it's probable cause. Again, you are setting up layers of defense, and it's going to be, if you get to that state, if they're going to pull something untoward, if they're going to act in a completely unethical manner, what you have to do is set up your layers of defense and let a lawyer handle it later on. You can be arrested if you do something stupid, sometimes if you're not doing something stupid. And again, I go back to what I said before. Arrested is better than convicted. You can pull those games, set up as many defenses as you can, and then get your lawyer involved. And for those who saw it yesterday, don't talk to cops. Now, Jason, since you're a police officer, I'll talk to you. Any other thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't know. When I call a dog out, I can't remember if I have a... If I've called a dog out to try to get into a car, it's been so long ago that I can hardly remember. Usually we use them for searching for people. Because the guy, and it's one of those things, like yesterday when we talked about polygraphs. Polygraphers are just fantastic interrogators. That's how polygraphy works. The machine is just kind of this kind of scary monster in the background. Dogs are really kind of the same way. The guys who have dogs rarely need them. I've talked to some of the guys, because I'm sort of in this special operations thing with a bunch of different kinds of officers, including canine, and they get their dogs back from training, and they want to get a chance to go up there and have the dog go around the car, but people give it up constantly.
Right.
I mean, and it's really ridiculous. It's like, because they'll go into it not because they want to cover themselves, but because they want to say, look, you know you don't have to let me search your car, right? I mean, it's your fourth. These are your rights. You need to exert them. No, don't search my car. Okay, let's get the dog out. Step out of the car. Let's go. But, I mean, sometimes it's
an empty threat, I think, a lot.
But, again, I mean, if you're going to start worrying about the unethical conduct, that's really not where we're looking at too much here. Again, that's the point. We're calling the ACLU. You're getting your lawyer involved, and you are setting up your layers of defense. And let it hash out in court. All right, yeah, to the left.
I came by to the panel yesterday and asked about the traffic stop I was involved in where the officer requested my weapon, one of my two. In that particular situation, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Let's get it for the audience. Go ahead and repeat it so everyone here knows
okay.
What you're talking about.
I was on the panel yesterday, or not the panel, but I came last night. I was at a traffic stop. I was towing my I had a trailer in my truck. I was moving from one house to another one, so I had my rifle and my pistol with me. The officer pulled me over because he couldn't see my tag, and one of my tag lights was out. Well, I thought maybe, when he first pulled me over, I thought maybe the tag fell off. It was only held with a zip tie. So I'm like, okay, it was there when I started. but when he came up, I'm like, officer, here's my hands. I've got firearms in the vehicle. And at some point, I got out of the vehicle, showed him where the tag was supposed to be. I saw the tag light was out, which it wasn't when I started half an hour prior. But as he was leaving the my vehicle, he asked for my pistol. Well, I mean, he wanted to see my license as well, and I showed it to him. But he took my pistol. It was in a carrier, and it had an extra magazine. At first, he wanted me to just show his clear. And he said, well, just give it to me, and then he walked off with it. I thought he was just going to clear it, and then he walked off. I'm like, where's he going with my pistol? I'm prior military, so it's like that's kind of a taboo. You don't give your weapon away to someone. So in that situation, I mean, what
am
I right?
Hold on to the mic real quick. Having seen both videos, first, is there anything you do differently, and then I'll talk to a little bit what we've discussed.
At the traffic stop?
Yeah, having seen both these videos, is there anything you would do differently now?
At that particular traffic stop, yeah. Well, no, because I didn't know why he was pulling me over.
Okay.
So he said, he said, do you know why I pulled you over? And I was like, no.
Okay, well, now, having seen both videos, the first mistake that you made was offering up information. If it wasn't in plain view, you were offering up information that you really were not required to do so. You had a permit for that weapon. Therefore, you were not outside of any type of legal scope, correct?
Well, let me ask this. Which state is your permit from?
Georgia. Here, okay. I was in Woodstock. Right. It's my understanding that if you have a firearm in the vehicle, you're required to alert an officer when he comes up to your vehicle.
In Georgia, there's no statute on that. When they passed H.R. 89 last year, I actually went back to my legislator to see if we could find some way around that. And I know in Florida they do have it's not a crime in Georgia not to declare the weapon, but if you're a permit holder in Georgia, a permit holder in Florida, if you don't declare your weapon at the first opportunity, then they can go after your permit and a civil action. In Georgia, there is no statute to that effect. And now anybody can carry, anybody who's not prohibited from carrying firearms can carry a gun anywhere in the car. Which,
so yeah, it's
I'm
scary.
Pretty pro-gun, but it's...
That's scary.
So you're saying now don't...
I didn't even know about Florida requiring. I hadn't heard about the requirement to declare it.
Well, when I cross state lines, I check the state laws. Because, I have two theories under which I can carry with both my permit and as a law enforcement officer under... whatever the federal statute it is now, but I still check those things, and I happened to, the last time I was down in Florida, I checked it. Now, I did do some thinking on that issue, although I didn't have a chance to check kind of my reference guide for a lot of this stuff, which is the Georgia Criminal Trial Practice, which is kind of it's a book about yay thick, and it's kind of a cheat sheet for lawyers.
A lot of cops have in their car as well.
And it's a part of that is like the basic book, the Georgia Law Enforcement Handbook, which is what they issue people when they go through the academy. And so I haven't had a chance to check that, but Georgia Law Enforcement Handbook, if you Google it, I don't know if you can Google it. You'd probably have to go to the publisher to get it. But it's a really good reference if you're willing to figure out how it works. Once you figure out how it works, it's fantastic. That's one of the problems about teaching cops is teaching them how to find this stuff. And one of the things they don't teach lawyers, because lawyers aren't taught statute. But in your case, yes, my thinking is, but you're kind of more broader. We're very specific. Whereas we're not really taught case law that much. But in your circumstance, I think it would be reasonable for the officer to separate you from your weapon and during the time of the traffic stop. I think he was within his rights to do that. Now, the way I would probably have dealt with that would be to have you exit your vehicle to keep you away from the M16 for safety reasons.
R15.
Okay.
Sorry, man.
It's badass looking, but it's still just an AR.
And then to take the pistol, clear it, and then probably ask you if we can put it in your trunk or behind your driver's seat. Not that I'm trying to get a search of the car, but to just kind of get it out of the way. But, I mean, that's what I think would be reasonable. I don't think the officer was really out of line to do that. But I, as I said, I didn't have a chance to kind of read up on it. Reading this textbook, it seemed to be in line with what they're suggesting, but this is a broad textbook.
Is that good?
That answers that question, but with the home search,
yeah.
How do civilianized dogs, like if I own dogs and they want to come in, and I mean, what do dogs have to do with police? I mean, can they just shoot them if they're in the way? Someone told me that.
It would depend on what the dogs do. I mean, if the dog's trying to attack an officer, yeah.
A cop's got.
Somebody, a dog running at you, looking angry. Yeah. Now you could interpret a lab, but I mean, it's just a common sense thing.
There's nothing special for cops on this one. If you feel threatened, vicious animal, vicious human, you have certain rights. The cop's got the exact same rights in that situation. So I mean, you can put yourself in that position. If there is a search of your, if there is a legal search of your home,
you're responsible for restraining your animal.
Yeah, I mean, if the cop gets bitten, you're legally responsible. I mean, in court at that point, you get sued.
Yeah, pepper spray would probably be more effective than a gun anyway.
Yep.
The dog will react to it faster.
Okay, we took a question from. Is that good for you? On this side, yes, ma'am.
No. He's got the mic.
Sorry. Oh, you don't have the mic. Very cool. You got it.
I'm sorry. Yeah, a couple years ago, this goes back to like consenting, I guess, to a search at your home. A couple years ago, apparently my neighbor got broken into, so police came out, and we had our window open, like the blinds open, and we had an airsoft gun sitting on the coffee table. Now, my roommate was the one who answered the door, but apparently he told me after the fact that when I asked him, the police officer asked to enter the home, he said no. As soon as he opened the door, the police officer invited himself right in. With his hand on his holster. So I guess my question is, because he wanted to inquire about the pistol that was on the coffee table, I guess my question is, by not, I guess, more rigorously protesting that, did he imply consent? And in that situation, once a police officer is in your home, is there anything you can do about it if you did not want to apply consent?
Once they step across the threshold, they are in your home. You have to assert your rights. That's why it's important to know these things.
I don't think you'd win on. I don't think the state would win on just opening your door to me is not consent, and I don't think the state would win on that motion to suppress. Now I could be wrong, I would not. To me, I mean, I think what they try to portray here is to make a point, but I don't think the law is lets officers kind of go that nuts.
One thing to keep in mind is you are, again, creating those levels of defense. Just continue to assert your rights. Don't try and push them out of the house, by no means. But I don't consent to a search. I do not invite you in. And you can ask them to leave. They don't have to leave. They've got no requirement to leave at that point. But you are continuing to set up these barriers for defense. And if they say they found something, now you've got grounds to have it suppressed and out of there.
Yeah.
So, again, better to be arrested than convicted.
Generally, I mean, make it clear what you want, and then if the officer's still going to do it, let him do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then deal with it in court. Because sometimes, and there you could be dealing with a couple things. I mean, you could be dealing with a rogue cop, and all you're going to do is piss him off and get beat. Or you could
Did you say that?
Well, I mean, there are cops that are out there. But on the other hand, and it could be that the officer is dealing with some sort, or he has some sort of perception that may be reasonable that allows him the authority to do it. Because a lot of this is dealing with what's the officer's reasonable perception of the situation. It doesn't require 20/20 hindsight, a lot of these Fourth Amendment issues. It just has to be kind of reasonable. I mean, your vehicle, if you're getting pulled over by the police and they pull you out at gunpoint and it's a felony stop, and you're like, oh, hell, I didn't do anything wrong. I mean, somebody could have gotten a number somewhere wrong on a stolen car report, and the officer's actions may be reasonable to him, and he may be covered if you do something that would cause him to react at that point. So I think in general, make it clear what you want, in no uncertain terms, and then if the officer is going to insist after that, you're going to have to deal with the rest of it later.
Right.
Overreacting is not going to help.
I do have something to contribute when it concerns to forcing entry on the house with the dog present. A lot of it depends on exactly why the officer is there. I work with one of the local SWAT teams, And we actually run into this issue a lot. Whenever you have your dog there as a guard dog, what happens is whenever we're making entry on a known drug suspect, Kyle, where we actually have to go in, we have a written order of search and arrest for that premise, we have to get entry. It becomes an issue in officer safety. So if you have your pit bull tied to the front door on a stake, it's probably going to get capped. We can try to pepper spray it, but if you have it attached to a chain, the officer is going to attempt to do his best to successfully. Nobody wants to shoot a dog because it's just an innocent victim, to be honest. But if you attach it to a wrought iron stake with 1-inch links and then stick it on your front door and then sell drugs out of your house, it's probably going to get got. The issue that we ran into was the pit bull was actually staked in front of a pot plant. They're growing a pot plant on their back porch, literally right next to their door. It was 3 feet tall. The doorway was here. The cement patio was about 4 feet, and the dog's run was about 3 feet wide.
Oh my God.
Typical standard, what we do is we make entry on 2 points at the exact same time because we have to have a backup point of entry. One team breaches and holds, the other team breaches and searches. The breach and hold team had to secure that door, and we couldn't take the time to get that dog out of the way, so it got put down. On other situations, a lot of times the dog's on like a 20-30 foot run, has patrol the backyard. Half the time, honestly, dogs are tough and all. Once they see 7 full-grown guys that look like, you know, armored carrier tanks come through the back door shooting off shotgun rounds, they piss themselves and go and run in the corner. So, and that case, no, the dog was fine. But just keep that in mind. If you're going to sell drugs, don't put your dog in front of the door.
Thanks for sharing.
Right.
Unless it's the dog selling the drugs.
Yeah, it's the dog's fault.
All right, I'm sorry for everybody who doesn't live in Georgia, but I have kind of a Georgia-specific question. I know of two people who are pulled over due to the seatbelt law. I have heard that that is not something that you have a reason to be pulled over. They have to have some other reason to pull over. If the cop comes up behind you, if you got your windows up and all that kind of, and you got the legal tint on the windows, can you be pulled over because you're not wearing a seatbelt?
If the officer can, it's a prime. There are some states where it's a secondary, whatever they call it.
Right.
I don't know
you
what
don't
those
have
are
that
because
category in Georgia.
Yeah, in Georgia, yeah, you see the buckle.
It's
oh, there, you can be pulled over. Now, if the officer can't see it, then your tent's probably too dark, or he just doesn't have a good angle. But no, you can't be stopped just to like check that. But you can't be stopped. It can't be a traffic stop just to check to see if you're wearing your seatbelt.
Right.
You know, you mean if it's a roadblock, then
so if they say,
you
"Oh, you weren't wearing your seatbelt, that's why I pulled you over," that they can't do that.
No,
they
legal.
Can't pull you over
they
for not
can't
having a seatbelt.
Everybody.
Yeah, they can't just randomly stop people and try to.
Yeah,
see.
That's what I'm saying. Like just a random like pull over because
no.
He was one of them.
The officer has
my windows. There's no way he could see in my car.
Yeah,
legal tent, because I went to the court for that because it was legal tent.
Okay. The officer, I mean, it says in the statute the officer has to clearly see that
right.
A person is not wearing their seatbelt,
this,
or
this
words to that effect.
Okay.
This brings up an important category about Georgia specifically, and we only have two types of crimes, two criminal statutes in the way of misdemeanor and felony. Everything falls into that. We don't have a civil category, which a lot of other states do. Something Georgia Normal has pushed for in the past, we haven't gotten yet, where like simple possession would just be a ticket, a civil category. You couldn't go to jail. For a misdemeanor, even speeding is a misdemeanor, and theoretically, you can go to jail for a year and pay a $1,000 fine for going a mile over the speed limit. Theoretically, that doesn't happen that I am aware of. But we just have two categories, and that's it. Okay.
I had a situation a few months ago where a person I did not know entered my yard and entered an exterior building. Without my permission, when he was running from the police. So, what in that situation are my rights with regard to the police? Obviously, I want this person removed. I don't particularly want them going through the building after they've done that. What is the best way to handle a situation like that?
Well, if an officer's paying that much or close enough attention, I mean, it's hot pursuit. The officer's lawfully wherever he's at. If he pursues that person into your shed, Now, if there's something that's back there, he's just legally there. And
plain view rule
and
kicks
in. Whatever's in plain is in plain view. So,
number
keep,
one,
keep your doors locked. Don't let perps inside.
And put stuff out of plain view. In general, again, if they're in hot pursuit, that's and if they have probable cause, you're losing. Or if they think there's a crime in progress, they have more ability to go in. You have less less defense later in court.
And in that situation, if they find something there, how are they going to prove who owns it?
Well, like
the person they were chasing, they're chasing him for a reason. He's probably doing something wrong. Then they find, say, drugs in the building he went into.
That's when you get the fun job of hiring an attorney.
Yeah. It's your lawyer's job then to go ahead and.
This somewhat relates to the movie here today about the young man who was sitting at the bus stop. He was asked for his identification, and he immediately gave it. And I know that yesterday you guys mentioned that there are cases where you have to identify yourself. What happens in cases where, by identifying yourself, you also end up incriminating yourself? For example, in cases of an expired driver's license. And what are the cases where you do not have to identify yourself versus the ones where you do have to provide some kind of identification?
If you were in a situation where you had an expired driver's license, the only time that that would really apply would be if you were driving. In that case, you don't have a choice but to give the officers your driver's license. Now, if you're in dealing with a different situation, I mean, a lot of it's going to go, I guess, to the lawfulness of the stop, depending on what the circumstances are.
We looked at this earlier tonight. It's called a Terry stop when you're asked to identify yourself. There are approximately 20 states where to not identify yourself is considered illegal. The book that I'm referencing didn't actually identify those 20 states, so I'm sorry, I can't give you that exact information right now. Right.
Well, the problem with Googling it is you're going to wind up with a bunch of websites that are going to give you very brief answers that might not really be resourced, because this is something that ever since this came out, everybody's always referenced our loitering statute, and our loitering statute only covers, it covers this person who's in a suspicious or in a place that's not normal for law-abiding citizens, which is pretty much a Terry stop. But I mean, there could be, imagine there's other places, like if you're a witness, you might be, I think the officer there, I mean, one of our duties is to investigate crimes, and identifying witnesses would be part of that. I mean, I might not be able to compel you to speak as a witness. That would be something for the DA's office to do with a subpoena, but I think it would be within the officer's duty to demand identification, which could be your name, date of birth, and your address, not necessarily a driver's license.
Right.
Yeah. Now, sometimes cops think that there's a statute that says that you have to provide your license, but I've never seen it in this state.
Right. So far, it's the standard that I've heard is positively identify yourself. There's nobody's pushed this through court to say what that means. So I am Andrew Greenberg, and I live at my address, et cetera, et cetera. Beyond that, do I have to show ID? If a cop's going to ask, I'm usually going to go ahead and show that, but beyond that, and that's because we do have the one statute in Georgia, and Georgia police do tend to believe that we have the identification on the books now. No one's pushed it through court, so until we actually see the challenges go through, we're not exactly sure what it is.
You're not compelled to carry any.
Right, exactly. But it's positively identify yourself is the standard that I've heard.
And they also talk about engaging in a little bit of suspicious behavior. So if you're just walking down Peachtree and you're not, I don't know, rifling through somebody else's coat while they're not paying attention, you're probably okay. So
you were talking about how they're not allowed to randomly pull people over. I drive through Stockbridge a lot, and I've seen them have just...
That's Stockbridge, dude. My hometown.
I've seen them have a lot of just blatant stops. They have
roadblock.
They have 138 blocked off, and everybody coming through there has to stop and provide their identification.
Right.
But that's a roadblock, and in Georgia you have to meet the Five LaFontaine standards.
And they also decided that roadblocks are constitutionally okay.
Right, that is the Supreme Court. And but what we were talking about before, they can't just randomly stop people to see if you've got your seatbelt on. But there are standards under which they can stop everybody coming by. And I thought one of those was checking ID, because you are implying you have your ID when you drive.
Yeah, you can. It has to be for, let me see if I can remember all five. It has to be for a traffic-related purpose, so it could be a sobriety checkpoint, paint, seatbelt, driver's license. It has to have a minimum delay of the motoring public. Discretion has to be reduced by the officer, so the officer can't choose which vehicle you stop. But you can set the supervisor can set standards and say all non-commercial traffic or all non-emergency vehicles or something like that. You have to, the screening officers have to be sufficiently trained and to refer somebody to secondary
screening.
So that
should eliminate Stockbridge.
I can't remember the fifth standard. It's probably something that's sort of redundant.
Do we have time for one more? Is this the next group coming in, or what are we at?
One more, yeah.
All right, last question, somebody.
Several years ago, I was felony stopped for driving a car that was reported stolen. It happened to be my car, and my bitch of an ex-wife. Anyway, she reported the car stolen when I left. I was felony stopped. In the process of the stop, my car was searched. In the glove box, I don't think they asked me if they could search it. They just went ahead and did it. Glove box, they found my pistol, which was thankfully unloaded, which is a fluke. Normally it isn't. Had it been, and obviously the entire thing was bogus to begin with, would I have any defense against that when it came time for court?
First off, is this in Georgia?
I know this was in Illinois.
Okay.
Did you have a license? Was it a legal firearm? All that jazz.
In Illinois, they don't have any sort of carry laws. The thing they have is when you transport it in the vehicle, it has to be in a locked compartment with the ammunition somewhere else. This happened to be the case this time. Normally, it's not. Yes, I'm a bad person. But, again, if I was busted for something like that, and, again, there was no real... that's what I don't understand is I shouldn't have been pulled over to begin with. It was my car. So is that defensible?
The problem is when you start to run into state-specific questions, you're really asking state-specific questions instead of constitutional-type questions that we can actually have a fair shot at answering, because otherwise we'd end up with books from, like, all 50 states with all their...
Well, I mean, assume it was Georgia.
I think under the Fourth Amendment, I think it was a... Oh, crap. The stop was legitimate.
Yeah, and he had probable cause to search your car.
I don't know. It might depend on the time frame, because, I mean, if they start going through your stuff and say, dude, you're the guy who's registered the car, why is this thing reported stolen? Did you forget to make a report when you recovered it or something?
Before he even looked in my glove box or grabbed my ID or anything, I was handcuffed in the back of his car.
Okay.
Which I can understand, felony stop.
You're probably dealing... Well, at that time, that would have... Could have been a legitimate search incident arrest. Could have been impounded inventory. That's kind of hard to say. But just because the officers have some sort of mistaken reason, it could still be reasonable. Like that stop was reasonable. The subsequent search of the car would depend on what the officers were thinking at the
now,
time.
Now, I'll end with this. One thing that we just got from the Supreme Court, and this is a nice one for our rights, is that on the pat-down, which... You pay too much. If they're going to pat you down, they get to pat you down. If you've been arrested, they're going to get patted down for weapons. If they do find other things, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is a recent decision, other things they find, they can't then use as evidence if you're not under arrest at that point. Is that right? Have you heard this one?
No.
It's like in the last... I'll have to double check that one.
I can't imagine that.
I'll have to look that one back up.
That
could be it. I'll have to double check that one. All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Remember, and repeat after me, I do not consent to any searches. Thank you.